All right, let's jump into the Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to have a good time this morning. I'm excited. Amen? There's songs been written about this chapter, and I've preached a lot of messages out of this chapter. It deals with a lot of seasons of our life. Let's read. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. Time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I'm just going to end right there. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for who you are and for what you do. God, I ask you to move in the service in a great, mighty, wonderful way, even more than you already have. We felt your spirit already and we know that you're here. And we just love you, God. I ask you, Lord, to open our minds, open our hearts, open our spirits up, Lord, and let us receive your word. Let us learn. Let us take this promise, this revelation, let it put it to work in Jesus' name. Father, I bind the devil, all of his work, to kill, steal, and to destroy. We rebuke and remove it in Jesus' name. And we loose you to be God. Any way you want to, Lord, do it for your glory. And everybody said, amen. How many of you know that life is full of seasons? Come on. What are the four seasons? We start in the year off and, well, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And as we go through a year after year after year, sometimes we forget how cold winter is and we forget how hot summer is. Want me to prove it to you? You know that it's August and you're going to walk out that door and you're going to say, my goodness, it's hot out here. It's the way of the season. And then you have springtime, and all the flowers are coming out, and the little baby stuff's running around, and everything's just full of life and full of green and full of pretty, and everything's great. And you have fall, all that pretty stuff that bloomed and greened up in the spring. Well, it's dying off. Leaves are turning brown, falling off of trees. Everything's withering away, it seems. And then, boom, winter hits, cold, no Jack Frost hits, and all the grass is dead. All the trees are bare. Everything's frigid and rigid and cold, and it's just terrible. Come on. It's just cold. And then we whine about that. We say, well, it's so cold out here. I can't get out of the house. I got to haul firewood. I got my gas stove. I got all these things happening. Oh, I got to put on all these clothes. Oh, it's so bad. Well, you know what? Then you get it back into summer. Then you're wishing it was cold. You see what I'm talking about. Seasons change, and with it brings benefits. And also, well, let me put it this way. There's pros and there's cons to every season that you live in. Come on. And so what we have to understand is that there are seasons that we love and seasons that we wish would end. Sometimes we find ourselves in places and in times and in seasons that are very uncomfortable. And we have to adapt to what our season is. That's why years ago, you'd never see anybody in short pants. It wasn't just this kind of church or that kind of church. It was everybody. Men wore breeches. And then people started saying, it's too hot for this, so what do they got? Short pants on. I was at an event last night. There was about 300 people in this room, smaller than this sanctuary, and they had one air conditioner working. There was a thermometer on the side of the wall that had 92 degrees on it. Let me get real blunt with you. If I'd have had a pair of short breeches, I'd have been in them because it was hot and I needed to change what I was doing so that I could find more comfort in the season that I was in. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you're in life, the spirit realm, the supernatural realm, when you're dealing with things in your circumstances, you've got to adapt and overcome and understand that some seasons are going to require different things from you than maybe you're ready or prepared to even do. Come on. When you get in the airplane, they give you this video or this pamphlet that you look at. They say, this is a flotation device. Put it around your neck. If the thing doesn't blow up, put the straw in your mouth and get to huffing and puffing. If the thing falls from the sky, put yours on first, then tend to the person next to you. In the event of a crash, put your head down, put your knees in your chest, and start to pray it. Well, guess what? I've never been in a situation where something fell out of the ceiling, where I had to get the air pump around my neck, or where I had to put my knees or my head between my knees. But guess what? They wanted you to be prepared in case the season of emergency hit. I've got news for somebody. If you're thinking that the Christian life is going to be rose garden and Kool-Aid coming out of the water fountain and $100 bills flying down from heaven, you've got a rude awakening. You've got to get prepared for the changes of the seasons, because you might be on the mountaintop today, but tomorrow morning you may wake up in the darkest valley of your life. And I'm over the next few weeks, if the Lord lets me, if God doesn't change my mind, I'm going to talk about some seasons. I'm going to talk about some things that we got to go through, some stuff that we've got to face, because I'm here to tell you, we got a bunch of sissified Christians in this world that at the first sign of the devil's attack, they want to throw in the towel and quit. But I'm here to tell you, the promise of God says, they that endure until the end are going to be saved. We've got to get some endurance. We've got to get some stick-em. We've got to get some tenacity to stand toe-to-toe with the devil and say, it might be weeping in the midnight, but joy's going to come. It might be a valley of the shadow of death, but I'm going to shout on the mountain. It might be a bad diagnosis today, but my Redeemer liveth and ever liveth to make intercession for me. I'm coming through this season, and I'm going to come out with better than I had when I went into it. So some things you've got to understand is that God is not a respecter of persons. You can't sit high and mighty and say, well, they're in a season because of something that they did. That's one of the biggest misconceptions in the house of God. You don't have to be a sinner, lying, cheating, stealing in the back room, have skeletons in your closet that you're living with to have a bad time. Come on. If it was that way, the earth would have done opened up and swallowed us up. If it was that way, we'd be like Ananias and Sapphira, dead. If it was that way, we'd be like the rest of the world, destroyed by the flood. We're living in a dispensation of grace, and God wants to see you get out of those sinful situations. He wants to see you repentant. He wants to see you living in communion with Him. Just because somebody has a bad time or a bad season or they're dealing with hell doesn't mean that their father is the devil. So don't judge people according to the season that they are currently in. Because there go I, but for the grace and the mercy of God. And so you've got to understand that everybody goes through seasons. Everybody goes through valley seasons. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. The seasons when we find ourselves in the valley. I want you to hear me out. If you've never been in a valley season, then get ready. It's fixing to hit. If you've never been there where everything seemed like it couldn't get any worse, get ready. It always could. If you've never seen it where you were questioning where to go and how to do it and what are we going to do to make it work and how are we going to survive this, I'm here to tell you, if you go through it, when you go through it, just hold fast. God will take care of it. But everybody has seasons when they have to trudge through the valley. Everything, there's a season. We read it in the first verse of Ecclesiastes 3. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. God has purpose for what He's doing with you. Do you hear me? The season that you're in is not to destroy you, but it is to give you flavor so that you can be the salt of the earth and you can change things and you can move things and you can destroy yokes and remove burdens off of other people. You can help lead captives out of captivity themselves. You're going to be an overcomer by the testimony that you have that I was brought to the valley, but God got me through the valley. There are seasons that we celebrate, but we don't like celebrating valley times. Huh? Anybody in here just get excited for loss? I can't wait till I have a blowout. Huh? I can't wait till I get sick. I can't wait till I lose my wallet. There ain't nobody in their right mind that way. That is psychotic. You need deliverance from an ignorant devil. But let me tell you what, when you go through these valleys, and when everybody else is happy and hallelujah, hold down, because they done got their breakthrough, but you're sitting there and you're saying, well, what about my miracle? What about my blessing? What about my peace? What about my, why hadn't my baby come to heaven? Why hadn't my baby come to the altar? Why hadn't my baby come to church? Why hasn't my job come through? Why am I still looking at a negative balance in the bank account? Why am I still dealing with this diagnosis? Well, let me tell you something. I don't care what anybody says. You don't want to go through what somebody else is going through. You don't want to change your situation for somebody else's. You just stick with what God's got for you. Why? Because the things that you think are crazy and bad and awful, God says, I'm working things for your good. I'm changing things so that you'll be better. I'm getting things prepared so that on the other side, you're going to have an anointing that you had to pay the price for. Don't look at other people and wish you could change places with them, because the cross that you're bearing is going to bring the resurrection power on the other side of the grave. Hold on to it. And say, though God slay me, yet will I serve him. We all go through valleys. But you got to understand, sometimes there's, well, I put three in my notes, but there's more. But I'm just going to talk about three types of circumstances that get you into valleys. We talked, well, four really. But sometimes you're the dummy that got in there. Sometimes you took a wrong turn and you found yourself stuck in a pit. Come on, somebody. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes our own decisions are what have put us in a valley. You ever walked a valley because you made a mistake? You ever walked in a valley because you just were rebellious? You ever walked in a valley because of pride and arrogance? And I'm going to do it my way, come hell or high water. Frank Sinatra sang about it. I did it my way. Well, the Word of God says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that's death and destruction. And you know what? I found myself looking around. Where's my friends I came here with? Where's the ideas that I had? Where's the plan of escape now? All by myself in the midst of a valley where there was nothing but reaping death and destruction. I've gone through seasons that I've had to deal with things because I made mistakes and I did stuff out of the will of God, and I was headstrong and I was mule-headed and I was stubborn, and I said, I don't think this is right, God. I think I know better. And I woke up in the midst of a valley. And guess what? The devil loves that. But what the devil loves more than that is for you to say, okay, I'm going to stay here. The moment that you realize that you've messed up, if you will say, God, I am sorry, get me out of this mess, he will begin to move heaven and earth to get you out of the pit and into the mountaintop. But you can't blame other people when you did it to yourself. You can't blame other people when you did it to yourself. And I'm going to be real blunt, real honest. If you go out and you kill somebody, and the moment that you get over that psychotic incident and you say, God, forgive me, and you mean it, your heart's broken, he'll forgive you. But you still got to go to prison. You still might have the electric chair, whatever they kill you with now. You still may have some bad circumstances, and you're going to have to reap some things. Just because you're okay spiritually doesn't mean that you are automatically exempt from natural valleys. Come on. It's like that old saying, sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. I want to tell you, don't be in that position if you can at all help it. The second thing, others. Others can put you in valleys. All right, Joseph, coat of many colors, huh? His brothers. Joseph starts having dreams about all these things and all these prophecies and all this, that he's going to be elevated above all of them, that they're going to bow down and worship him, and that he's going to be the head over all of it, and all these things are going to be this way, that, and the other. And he was favored with his father. His father gave him the coat. They looked at him and they said, it's not fair. It's not right. I don't like this. Who is he to say this? And what did they do? They grabbed him, they took his coat, ripped it in half, dipped it in some blood, said something got our brother, threw him in a pit, come on, sold him to slavery, Later, he got in trouble, and went, or not his own trouble, but because of a lying woman. Some of y'all can say amen. And he ended up in prison. And he ended up all these things happening to him. But guess what? It was because of somebody else's doing that God allowed. You ain't got it. Somebody may have wronged you, might have lied on you, might have cheated you out of something. You may be in a valley today because of somebody else's doing. But I want to reassure you, God saw it when they made the plan. God saw it when they had the idea to lie. God saw it when they took his coat off. God saw it when they dipped it in that blood. God saw it when they sold him into slavery. God saw it when they lied on him. God saw it the whole time. But he said this. God said, what I promised him in the dreams, I'm going to make come to fruition. Whether he's in the valley or not, there's going to be a time when he is in the palace. He was steadfast. He kept God as the main thing. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't stoop down to their level. He said, I'm in a valley season right now, but I'm going to transfer from the pit to the prison to the palace. And guess what? Because of God's grace and mercy, he was able to get the entirety of the nation of Israel food. In the famine, what the enemy, what his brothers meant for his destruction, God turned it around for the salvation of many. Don't you dare hate your valley season, even if somebody else put it in there. I'm believing that even they are going to be saved at the end of it all. And then there's natural valleys. Come on. Life be real. Life be laughing. The struggle's real. Y'all know that little saying? The struggle's real. I want you to hear me out. The devil ain't always the culprit to your leaky roof or your bad situation. The devil is not always the culprit of why your teeth fell out or why your hair turned loose. The devil is not always the culprit to why you caught your toe on the corner of the nightstand. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's just life. And it's your turn. I mean, it's your turn, baby. It's your partner dance with them. Some valleys come simply because trouble is a part of living in the world that we live in. And if you want to blame somebody, don't blame the devil. Blame Adam and Eve. Huh? Because through that little act of sin, it opened the floodgates to valleys for everybody. Ladies, you have birthing pain because of that. Huh? That's terrible. We all are going to die unless the Lord comes back soon. Because of that. Sometimes what you're dealing with is not a supernatural spiritual attack. Sometimes it's not your neighbor. Sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes you just hit a piece of steel in the middle of the road and it cuts the sidewall of your tire and it's 105 and you're sitting on the side of the road waiting on AAA. It doesn't mean you have to give up and throw in the towel. I'm here to tell you, natural things sometimes just happen. Job 14, he said it. He said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. My goodness. I think we're doing better than old Job said. My life's not full of trouble. My life is full of God. We're living in a dispensation where the Lord died so that we could be transferred from constant trouble to constant fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And like that old song said, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I don't know about you, but even in the valley, God's with you. He can give you strength to get through that thing. Praise God. And the key to it, you got to praise God anyhow. But you don't know what I'm going through, Brother Shelby. I'm not God and I don't profess to be God. But I can tell you this, I may not know exactly where you are, but I know the definition of a valley. And I can relate to some part of your problem with some part of mine. And I can also tell when folks is upset, and I know that when they are, they need comfort. So here's the reality of it. I'm not the comforter. Anybody in here the comforter? Nope. In fact, Jesus said, I got to get out of here, and I've got to go back to heaven because I'm fixing to send the comforter, the Holy Ghost. And I want you to hear me out. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. You may not have the words to bring comfort to somebody or know how to talk them through their valley, but when you just start praising God and praying to the Lord and giving Him the glory and the honor that He deserves, He'll invade that valley and turn it into a good old-fashioned praise-breaking prayer meeting, Holy Ghost outpour revival service. I've been with people in the worst times of their life and it not being anything close to a church service, but we had church. I've been in living rooms, I've been in hospital rooms, I've been in funeral homes, and it was dead. Bad, dark, and despairful. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit and the light of God invade that place. And where there should be tears and weeping, there was laughter and joy. Where there should be giving up and throwing in the towel, there was strength to keep on it going. Where there once was pain, now there's promise. Why? Because the Comforter will come. And when you begin to praise God, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. If you'll pull that psalm up, we're going to read most of this chapter real quick. Psalm 34. We got a lot of songs written about it. As we begin to read these verses, you'll hear what I'm talking about. If you can pull that up for me there. I will bless the Lord at all times. You mean in the valley, Brother Shelby? All means all. All means everything. He doesn't say, I'm going to praise Him just when I'm happy, just when I'm glad, just when I'm excited, just when I've got everything my way. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And listen to this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. What does that mean? That means you can be in the valley right now and your neighbor be in the mountaintop, but you hold something in common. You both got the same Jesus, the same blood, the same saving power, and the same God that's got them on the mountain is going to bring you out of your valley and put them with them. We've all got that in common. We don't have to worry about where you are or where I'm at or what you've got or what you haven't got. We can get with an African. We can get with a Venezuelan. We can get with a Russian. We can get with an Australian. If there was a Martian that knew who Jesus was, we could get with them too and just begin to magnify and praise the Lord. And I've got news for you. God will show up in the situation. Praise Him anyhow. David didn't say, I'm going to bless the Lord when everything's going my way. He didn't say, I'm just going to do it when I'm all right and I feel like it and when I'm not tired. I don't care if you hate the psalm. You sang a few songs Jesus hated. I don't care if you don't like the tone, the tempo, or the toot of the horn. Praise Him. But you don't know the valley I'm in. God does. You ain't praising me anyhow. I couldn't get you out of a valley with a 12,000-pound winch, four turnbuckles, and a big truck. But God has the power to go, and the valley get turned around and turned into a mountain. You shouldn't be praising the sound up here. You shouldn't be praising the instruments. You shouldn't be praising Calvary Tabernacle. We ain't gathered in this building to praise a church. We've gathered in this building together to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000, the one who is, who was, and who's going to be. We're the one. God help us. That's what it's all about. And when we get that through our stinking head and into our mind and we put all the differences aside and we say, I don't care what hell I've gone through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going to get my carcass to that church and I'm going to praise God because I've got breath in my lungs. And let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to praise Him anyhow. I'm in the valley. I'm going to praise him anyhow. I've got a bad report. I'm going to praise him anyhow. My boss is a jerk. I'm going to praise him anyhow. My wife didn't cook nothing good this week. I'm going to praise him anyhow. My kid's acting a fool. I already been to the principal's office first day. I'm going to praise him anyhow. They ain't this way. They ain't that way. I'm here. I'm there. It don't make a hill of beans. Praise God anyway. The seasons may change, but your worship should be constant. The valley, and you say, why? How can I praise God if I'm dealing with all this stuff? Because you ain't called to live there. Seasons change. The valley's not your home. Don't put a foundation where you are and build a house there. I'm trying to talk. Psalm 23 and 4. This is at every funeral we go to. But there's so much power right here. Psalm 23 and 4. Yea, though I walk through, okay. Yea, though I live in the valley, no. Yea, though I just sit here and take it in the valley of the shadow of death, no. Yea, though I just have been forsaken and God's left me here to die, no. He said, though I walk through the valley. Somebody ought to hear this. We ain't valley dwellers, we're valley walkers. We ain't making our bed there, but we're passing through. We're not staying in the muck and in the mire and in the problems and in the negativity and in the destruction and in the devil's realm. But we may come to it for a season. We may walk through it for a moment. We may be subjected to it because it's life. But I refuse to lie down with the devil and let him take over and kill me. I'm going to get up, put my walking shoes on, and take one foot and put it in front of the other and till I climb out of that pit. That's how I can praise him. That's how I can worship him. Because though I'm here today, rejoice not over me, mine enemies, for though I'm cast down, I shall arise. Through it. You're going to get through it. You're going to make it through it. You're not going to have to blow your brains out or overdose on dope or take a drink of this or that. You're not going to have to get hooked here, hooked there. I'm here to tell you, get your eyes on Jesus, fix your sight on him like a flint, and you start praising God one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Or if that ain't working for you, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Or if that ain't working for you, power in the blood. If that ain't working for you, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. Whatever it is, get to praising him and telling him what it is about him that you love, and he's going to get you through that valley. I ain't living there. You may be down, but you ain't got to stay down. You may be walking through darkness, but God can be your light. You may be in the valley right now, but you're going to come on through. I want you to hear me. I'm going to end it here. This is a promise. I was thinking about this, and I was reading up on this, and I was praying. I was like, God, show me something in this. Because I was reading about physical valleys, not spirit. You know, there's a lot of things you can find in the natural that bears witness with the spirit. God's a spirit, and he built this place we call earth. Y'all hear me? And he did it in a supernatural way. So there's all kind of little tidbits of revelation if you let the world speak. And I was researching about mountains and valleys and all this stuff. You know, some valleys are caused by rivers flowing through them. And some valleys are caused because of glaciers sliding down them. And I was going to get all that. I was into this, man. I had a big bunch of points. I was going. And God said, don't you dare. He said, I want to show you something. The last thing I was reading are how valleys are made by two mountains. The plates come together and they pinch up here. And over here a distance, the plates come together and pinch up here. And what you find, a valley is created because of two mountains. not a mountain is created by two valleys. You ain't heard me yet. We always want mountains, but if we want to go from mountain to mountain, the only way to have that is for there to be a valley. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to go back to the beginning. God has to prepare you for your next ascent by going through the valley. Somebody ought to hear this. If you want to go to a higher peak, you're going to have to go through a valley season. If you want the oil from the olive, you have to go through the crushing and through the pressing. Even Jesus had 40 days in the wilderness before he could come out and declare, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me." Some of you right now, you say, "Well, I've already come off of a mountain and I'm down in this valley." Well, let me tell you something. Valleys are surrounded by mountains. Pick one and get to climbing. Pick one and get to climbing. Praise the Lord. This means that the very existence of your valley is proof that there is a mountain just ahead. Did you hear what I said? The existence of this season is proof that God has something great just in sight. Isaiah 40 and 4, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." God specializes in changing landscapes. God specializes in plucking up mountains and putting them into the sea. And if he can take a mountain and put it into the sea, he can take a valley and turn it into a mountaintop. What looks like a low place today can become the pathway to a higher place tomorrow. Psalm 30 and 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." The night's not going to last. The weeping's not going to last. The valley's not going to last. The season you're in is not going to last. But it's going to change. And what you're experiencing right now is not the end, but it's just a part of your journey. Are you hearing me this morning? There's people in this place. You've wanted to give up. You've wanted to throw in the towel. You've wanted to stop. You've thought, "This is more than I can bear. This is more than I can handle. This is more than I can take." And you are 100% correct. It's more than you can do it on your own. It's more than you can handle on your own. It's more than you can face on your own. But I've got news for you. God's with you. He said he'd be with you always, even into the end of the earth. And he's going to walk with you in the valleys. He's going to carry you up those mountains. He's going to bring you to the other side. And though today looks rough, tomorrow's going to be better. All over this place, if you say, "Brother Shelby, I need some help. I need some help. I need some strength. I need some encouragement. I need to get through this mess. Tell me if you'll come. I need to make a way. I need something to break loose. I need some direction. I need some, what? I need a rope. God, just tie it around me and drag me up this thing." Well, we're here. We're here. He'll do it, won't he, Ken? He'll make a way where there seems no way. So if you say that this morning, you want prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not even going to ask you to come to the front. If you say, "Brother Shelby, I need some strength to get through this valley this morning," I just want you to raise your hand. If you feel like you're in a valley season, you need some strength, hold it up high. Hold it up high. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? All right, those of you that are not holding up your hand, I want you to look around. I want you to find somebody that is. Hold your hands up. Don't be scared. Find you somebody quick. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. It's your turn to be the church. We act like these altars, it's a sacred cow if we ain't careful. It becomes something that we make it an idol. Jesus is the answer, not coming to the front. And I believe God can touch you right where you're at. Right where you're at. So if you looked around and you saw somebody and the Spirit of the Lord is quickened into your spirit to go pray for someone, I want you to be very careful. If you're not hearing from the Lord to do it, don't waste your time. If the Lord gives you something to pray, pray it. If the Lord gives you something to say, say it. But don't just make something up because you feel like you need to. Just be led by the Spirit. And walk down into their valley right now. Grab a hold of them and say, "Hell or high water, we're coming back out of this mess. And when we get done praying, we're believing that you're going to be on a mountaintop." So I want you to go find them. Whoever it was that the Lord spoke to you to go pray for, just go speak to them. Go pray for them. Put your hands on them and declare that it's going to be over and done. If you raise your hand, raise it again so they can come find you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray a blessing over each and every one of us this morning. I know some of you have to go. You got places to be, things to do, and I don't want to keep you. But I also don't want to shut down this prayer too early. So we're going to dismiss and go. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, just to touch hearts and lives this morning. Destroy yokes, remove burdens, set captives free. Give them strength to get out of this valley that they're in, to survive this season, God, and to bring them out on the other side unscathed. Father, I ask you to protect us, to lead us and guide us as we go from this place. Make a way for us. Wrap us in your love. Let your angels go before us to fight our battles. Bring us back safely in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.